Welcome to the Stop Panicking Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Miss Natalie Forrest. Natalie, why don't you take it from here?
Oh, I will. Amazing. I like that. That, by the way, was a word that I used to be very, very afraid of. So don't make me panic by using that word. And of course, I'm happy to be here. Tanya always does these amazing summits, and I hope everybody listens to every single one of the speakers because you learn a lot. And we're always hearing things we really need to hear at a certain point in time. So I know that everything is recorded as well, so go back in later. I was lucky enough to catch a few things from my fellow speakers who were up before. And it is something that we don't need to be afraid of. So the theme for today is all about fear. You know, don't panic, get rid of your fears. And that very often is easier said than done. Reason being that from the minute we grow up, consciously or subconsciously, we're being bombarded with certain fears. And the fears are twofold. Some are personal and some are social. So if you think about it, what is there to be afraid of? Clearly, there are some things to be afraid of, such as burning your hand, getting into an accident, and all of those good things. Those are not the things that I'm necessarily concerned with. I'm concerned with these issues only when it comes to the fact that we can actually make them happen. Since we can make them happen, we can also make them unhappen. But that's a topic for another summit, I suppose. So let's focus on our fears, our personal fears, our social fears. If you can, just close your eyes for a moment. I'm not going to go into like a lengthy meditation, but close your eyes for a moment and think back at the earliest age you remember. You being a baby, you being 1 year old, 2 years old, doesn't really matter how old you are, but just remember when you were a child. How afraid were you at that point in time? What fears did you have when you were 2 years old, 4 years old? How many fears and what fears did you have before you started going to kindergarten or school? And how many fears did you have in the time that you were not in school, like right after school or before school or during the summer? For most of us, the answer is going to be very few, or I don't really remember if I had any fears. And that is really, really crucial. Because at that time, we had a certain self-image that didn't really allow for a whole lot of fear. If you remember, as children, and just if you don't remember when you were a child, you know, look at some of the children around you, either yours or the ones that you see going to school or playing on the playground. I mean, they're all kids that have superpowers. They're human beings that have superpowers. They think they're invincible. How many videos have we seen of kids looking in the mirror and dancing on top of tables and just going, "I'm great, I'm great, I love myself." That's because that is their self-image. Invincible, superpowers. I can fly. I can do anything I want. And so the question is, when does that end? How did we get from 3 years old, 4 years old, I can do anything, to 20 or 30 or 40 years old of, I have no idea if I can actually do this? How is that possible? And the answer is very, very simple, really. The answer is simple because it is social conditioning and personal conditioning. And so I deal with the hidden power of patterns. And one of the patterns that many of us have is a pattern of fear. The fear that our parents lovingly instilled in us, the fear that society, lovingly or not lovingly, instilled in us. There's a certain level of fear that was given to us so that we could function well, that we could survive well, that we would fit in well. And that's why today we're so afraid. These fears are very simple. A parent might say, don't ride your bicycle too fast because you might fall and hurt your knees, and maybe your knees will be broken forever and you will no longer be able to walk. And if you're no longer able to walk, you might need a cane. And if you're 5 years old and you cannot walk and you need a cane, what are others going to say about you? What are others going to say about mommy and daddy that we didn't watch you? And so the kid's like, oh my God, I got to be careful when I drive my bicycle. I need padding, I need this, I need that, I need to look left and right. And sooner or later, they don't want to ride their bicycles anymore. They're afraid of riding their bicycle because of all of the possible consequences. Now, granted, the parents most likely gave out those warnings because they love their child. It does have a different kind of effect, though, as well, doesn't it? Because it has the effect of a child all of a sudden saying, oh my God, I don't want to ride my bicycle anymore. And the same goes for later on. Once you go to school, dress a certain way. Don't talk too much. Don't raise your hand too much. Don't do this. Don't do that. Always with the message, what are people going to say about you? What are they going to say about me? And the reason why those fear patterns work, why they have a power over us, is because in our essence, as human beings, we are pack animals, we're herd animals, we want to belong to somebody outside the family. That's who we want to belong to. But if they don't look at us because we look different, we talk different, then we're going to be alone. In society, the same thing happens, right? If you go to a meeting, you dress a certain way. If you don't dress the way that they advise you to dress, you will stand out. And so you're panicking, like 5 hours before the meeting. You've got like all of your clothes on the bed. You're trying to figure it out. You call five different friends and say, what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? I have to fit in. That pattern has a power over you. That pattern has another power over you to help you function the way that it works for society. It may not work like that for you personally. So at some point in our lives, with all of those fears in us, most of them subconscious, we sit there and we exist. And now the biggest fear kicks in. The biggest fear thus far. And that's the fear of living. We're afraid to live. Because when you live, that means you're passionate. You enjoy what you're doing. You go out there and do it just because you can, just because you want to. When's the last time in the rain you stepped outside of your house, condo, apartment, big house, small house, or stopped the car on the side of the road and ran around in the rain, jumping up and dancing just because it felt good to you at that time? Not because there was a child with you, just for you. When's the last time you did something that society would call crazy? We don't do it because we're afraid that somebody will look at us driving by, maybe take a video and post it on Instagram or Twitter, or maybe take a video and show it to all their friends, and maybe we become the laughing stock of everybody. We're afraid of the social ramification of us living. Now, how sad is that? So all these people, they're existing. They're existing because they're afraid to live. I don't know if that's you, but think about it. Are you existing or are you living? And am I making you panicking right now because you're realizing you're existing and that you are indeed afraid of living? If so, great. If I'm having you in a panic mode right now, great, because it means you're open-minded and you're ready to go to where you can live. But we're also afraid of the work that it sometimes takes, don't we? We're afraid that it may take too much of us. So let's cut all of that out, because everything I've said so far was just prelude. All of those are the patterns that other people have helped us make our own, consciously and subconsciously. The real big issue, the one thing that has many of us live in fear of being ourselves, live in fear of living, live in fear of being alone, live in fear of being laughed at, living in fear of being successful. That's a big one. That main fear is based on the fact that we don't trust ourselves. You may want to write that down. Do you trust yourself enough that you know you can withstand anything? If not, then you have just discovered your deepest fear, the fear of you. Remember those kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old? They have superpowers. They know they can do anything. They can withstand anything. They don't even understand what it means to have to pay bills, most of them. So, do you trust yourself to withstand anything? Because if you have any fears at all, the base fear is very simple. It is the fear of you possibly not being strong enough. That's the biggest fear. That has you panicking. You're not sure you trust yourself enough to be the laughingstock of people for having fun. Because whose problem is that anyhow? It's not your problem. You were just dancing in the rain, getting wet, feeling great, taking a bath in nature, and possibly getting all of your systems cleared out. Maybe you were shedding a few tears as well while you were dancing in the rain. Fantastic. But now here you are. You're good. You just lived, and everybody else, they have a challenge because they're not living. And they're most likely wishing that they would have done that. But they don't trust themselves enough that they can deal with the aftermath. So if you're ever in a mode of panic, you got to ask yourself, why? And the answer may initially be because he will say that, because she will do that, because I will not be able to, blah, 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 blah. All of that still comes down to you don't trust yourself enough. Fear is a social contract. Fear is the absence of courage. Are you courageous enough to trust yourself fully and entirely? That's the basic question. Because if you are courageous enough to trust yourself, then you know you can withstand anything. So if people are laughing because you're dancing in the rain, you can smile at them, you can wave at them, and you can just know in your heart that they are the ones who are existing while you're living. Are you courageous enough to just believe in yourself and be all that you can be? Are you courageous enough to take all the necessary steps, put in all the work to be successful? Or are you afraid what people will say when you are successful? when you are truly living your dream. If you're not as successful as you want to be right now, ask yourself, why is that? What am I afraid of is going to happen if I am successful? What am I afraid is going to happen if I make $1 million? Because remember, in our mind, we can achieve anything, good, bad, and in between. So if you're afraid of success, then you're not going to be successful. And the only reason why you are afraid to be successful and therefore not successful is because you don't trust yourself to be able to deal with the aftermath. And the aftermath is social conditioned. The aftermath means that people now, one of the top 10%, you are no longer like us. Oh, all rich people are bad, because maybe that's how you grew up learning about rich people. Or are you willing to be successful, to make that $1 million, to be all you can be, and then know you can deal with it? Because you're going to change everything about being successful. You now made $1 million, and you're not one of the bad rich people who take everything from everybody. You're actually giving. Because guess what? If you want to give to others, you first need to have something. So just change all of the connotations and the meaning. Don't be afraid to change the meaning and the content of words and actions. It's something that a lot of people have done. I mean, use the word bad. Remember when bad used to be bad? I'm old enough to say bad used to mean bad. And then other stuff happened. One of the things that happened was Michael Jackson, and all of a sudden bad was no longer bad. So nowadays, when you say bad, you have to look within the context of where you're using the word bad. Because probably you're afraid to not fit in, and you want to use the right definition of bad when you're using the term bad. I'm not sure if I lost anybody at this point. It all comes down to how much you trust yourself. You can achieve anything if you trust yourself. If you're afraid of anything, you need to go to the root cause. The root cause is how much confidence do you have in yourself to overcome anything successfully that's being put in your way. Now, granted, some of us know exactly what that is like. We've been thrown curveballs left and right. And there have been times when we all said, I remember that myself. I mean, I got to a new country. I got married, and then I realized the marriage wasn't good. It took me a while to end that first marriage of mine. Why? Because I was afraid, because I wasn't sure I could handle the aftermath. I wasn't sure what would happen. I was afraid. I was afraid what some people would think. I was afraid that everybody would know I failed. And there's the term fail, right? Well, failure to me does no longer exist. If an experience doesn't go the way I hoped it would be, as long as I learned something from it, I didn't fail. I learned something. That's a win. So I just changed the meaning. And that is one of the many experiences that I've had in my life where I was faced with something and I started internally panicking until I did some work on myself and I looked at myself and I said, no, hold on. Who am I? Am I going to let the fear of what others think, the fear of being all alone in a different country that is not my own, the fear of my family not being there, do I really let that govern my life and have me stay in a marriage that does not work? Or am I going to analyze and address this fear and do what is necessary so I can live? And obviously, I chose to live. we all have been thrown those curveballs. We all have had situations where we thought we couldn't do it. We would fall apart. We would break. And that fear kept us in a situation or kept us, you know, going in circles with decision-making, even simple decisions. What do I eat for dinner? I don't know. This might taste good. This might taste good. Maybe they're left over here. Whenever that happens, I mean, we're not trusting ourselves enough to deal with it. So what if the food comes out and I don't like it? I made a choice. I'll learn from it. I might get up hungry, but then I eat a piece of bread at home. The biggest fear that we all have is the fear of ourselves. And we've been trained to not believe in ourselves anymore. We've been trained that it's all about teamwork, that it's all about fitting in. We're afraid of not fitting in because we don't trust we can deal with the aftermath. And yes, I keep driving that same point home, because the only fear that governs most of our lives is the fear of not trusting ourselves, of not being able to do with what comes our way. Let's address that fear. We get to that fear by all of the other patterns that have been instilled on us, the conscious and the subconscious ones. Let's get back to that courage. It's not as hard as it seems. Because after all, we're here for a reason. Every single one of us is here for a reason. We're all needed. We're all needed to do what we're here to do. You may not know exactly what that is. So don't be afraid of what that might be. Because if you're afraid of what your job on this earth might be, then you already have two things you need to address. Let's start with the small stuff. Let's start with, are you living or are you existing? I know it might not seem that small, but that's really the small stuff. If there are things in your life where you know you're only existing, that means somewhere in you, fear has the power. Then we get to, which fear is it? And we address that fear. And sooner or later, everybody I know and everybody I have worked with, we get to the point where we admit, I'm afraid because I don't trust myself. So now that you know that that is the key issue, there's no more reason to panic. You now have a roadmap on how to deal with that fear. You can be all you're internally desiring, all your heart desires, if you're willing to be courageous. It's really that simple. And while I'm saying it's really that simple, yes, it does take a little bit of work. And yes, you will most likely need a little bit of help with that, because we all do. Otherwise, we get back into our patterns of fear. But let's not panic, because right here in this group, the Public Speakers Association, you have a number of people who've been through it, who are going through it, who are experts in helping you, and you probably have some of those also in your own lives. And those are the people you want to fit in with. So also, as my last piece of advice, stop being afraid to ask for help, because you can deal with the aftermath. Fear is the absence of courage. So let's get back to being children and be courageous in all that we can be. And that's the end for me.